Let's see what we're going to do. Well, we certainly can get through an hour right now.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I thought there was going to be an opportunity for cross-examination. Is that not on your agenda now?
Let's see. I didn't think about how we would handle that at this point. I thought about how we would handle that as we got to the individuals. Might as well do it now. I think that makes sense. So go ahead. This doesn't count to your time.
Thank you.
And then we'll, the individual cease and desist order recipients, you're going to have time also to come up and ask questions of the prosecution staff team. So we'll let the CSD go first.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson, what is your position at the Water Board?
Water Resource Control Engineer.
And where did you go to school?
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
And in what formal training do you have on septic tank design and management?
I have a bachelor's degree in environmental engineering.
Anything else?
Yes, I work at the Regional Water Quality Control Board, where we retain several wastewater and on-site wastewater system experts, and I rely on their expertise.
And when did you first join the regional board?
April 1997, as a volunteer.
At what point in time did the prosecution staff decide to pursue enforcement action against the septic tank owners and operators?
Again, I think we were planning it for years, and the first time I saw it in writing, was the transmittal letter for the administrative civil liability complaint.
Do you recall ever seeing an email from Mr. Roger Briggs 2 days after the election saying we will now take enforcement action against individual septic tank owners and operators?
No, I do not recall seeing that email.
Do you recall seeing anything in writing that triggered the enforcement action that we're here discussing today?
I don't recall whether it was in a meeting with management or whether it was through email. Because I don't remember anything in writing, I think it might have been through verbal communication, internal verbal communication.
And when was that?
I object to the extent that this is calling for internal discussions of the prosecution team that are enforcement confidential or attorney-client privilege. So if what you're talking about is our internal discussions or communications from me, then don't answer.
Okay. Well, I'll sustain the objection on those grounds.
What triggered these enforcement proceedings, Mr. Thompson?
I don't believe I'm the best person to answer that question.
Fair enough. Who is?
That would be Roger Briggs.
Okay,
hold on. Are you done with this witness?
No. Either Mr. Briggs can answer it now or we have lots for him later. So
okay.
I'll ask that question to Mr. Briggs later.
Let's do witness by witness just
okay.
to make it clean, and
that's
then
fine.
You'll have your time with Mr. Briggs.
That's fine. Mr. Thompson, you mentioned that that there were 4,300 septic systems in the prohibition zone. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And how did you obtain that information?
We did an in-house analysis of the, let's see. This again is a better question for Roger Briggs, but I can answer it. According to our information, there are 4,993 residences in the prohibition zone. There are 466 in the Bay Ridge Estates, which has a community system, which is already subject to a cease and desist order. So you would subtract that from 4993. And there are 74 residences in Vista de Oro, which also have a community system. So you would subtract that. There are 122 residences in the Bayview Heights, which are excluded. And there are another 47 in the Martin Tract, which is also excluded, which amounts to 4,284 septic systems. That, again, that is our best estimate.
And of those 4,284 septic systems, how many owners and operators have been targeted for enforcement?
Do you mean now or at all?
All.
All.
So it's the prosecution team's intent to bring 4,284 enforcement actions against the septic tank owners and operators in the prohibition zone. Is that correct?
That is our stated intent, yes.
Okay. You also mentioned that the initial strike that. How many were on your initial list that you testified were chosen at random?
50. 50 properties.
50 properties, and there are 45 CDO enforcement actions pending today, correct?
Correct.
What happened to the other five?
The five we learned after issuing the initial round of cease and desist orders, either there was one of them that lived in Monarch Grove, which has a sewer system, and so they are not subject to the basin plan prohibition. There were four of them in the Bay Ridge Estates neighborhood, which has a community septic system again and is already subject to a cease and desist order through the community services district. So we retracted the draft cease and desist orders for those five properties, which is why we're now at 45.
And is there a reason that you didn't do your homework as to all 50 before you issued those 50 draft cleanup and cease and desist orders?
Could you restate your question?
Okay, hold on. Mr. Onstedt, what is the relevancy of this testimony towards the issues that I laid out for this hearing? How does this tend to prove or disprove that any of these individual properties are discharging waste?
Well, because I'm just now established that the prosecution staff did not do their homework in selecting the people for prosecuting cease and desist orders. And as we go further, we'll find out a lot with regards to the actual selection process, which ultimately leads to a conclusion that there's a lack of evidence with regards to the basis upon which the prosecution team is pursuing these 45 cease and desist orders.
Okay, Mr. Onstedt, what I have heard so far is testimony that staff intends to prosecute everybody in the prohibition zone, that they randomly picked 50 properties. They made a correction to that choice. Everything else around, whether there's 50 or 300 or over what time frame, in my view, is not relevant to whether these 45 are discharging in violation of the basin plan prohibition.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
No, I didn't hear. You're trying to jump through and make connections that I don't see.
Okay, I will ask.
And the testimony, sir, that I heard so far, and it's this testimony you can challenge. The staff's testimony is, as long as the septic tanks are in use, that in and of itself is a violation. That's their position. So if you have evidence to compete with that, that's what we're most interested in. But this line of questioning could take a long time, and I think its relevancy is quite tenuous at best.
Okay.
So I know cross-examination, it can be quite broad, and you can go into areas that have not been brought up by their own direct examination, but I do want you to give me a better offer of proof as to what is necessary here. And I'm not, so far I'm not satisfied.
We have alleged, and a large part of the defense, is that the Water Board did not do its homework with regards to preparing the prosecution cases, that people were targeted on an other than a random process, that there's not the evidence to support it, and that basically the facts upon which they rely upon are indeed unreliable. And we should be allowed to cross. I'm not asking Mr. Thompson anything outside the scope of what he testified to on direct.
Well, he said that they randomly picked 50 people.
All right, then
you don't believe it was random?
Then I will. May I pursue that line?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, you said that 50 people were selected at random. Can you describe the process in as much detail as you are able as to how these 50 people before the board today, or 45, excuse me, were selected?
Sure, I'd be glad to. We started with a list of all properties in Los Osos provided by the county tax assessor. At the time, we were relying on help from California Environmental Protection Agency, and they culled out a subset of the county assessor's list for those in the prohibition zone. They basically compared assessor's parcel numbers to the prohibition zone boundaries. And then we took that list of that subset of properties in the prohibition zone, and we applied, and that was in a Microsoft Access database format. And there were a certain number, California Environmental Protection Agency was still culling out properties along the boundaries, and so I think it was in the neighborhood of 4,000 properties, 3,500 to 4,000 properties, excuse me. And then for those, whatever that number was, 3,500, what have you, I went into Microsoft Excel. And Microsoft Excel has what's called a data analysis tool pack, which is an add-in to Microsoft Excel. And the data analysis tool pack allows you to to generate a certain number of random numbers. Okay, and so I used Excel to generate those random numbers, and it was carried out to like the 10th decimal place. Purely random numbers, about 3,500 of them. I then inserted a row into the Microsoft Access database and then inserted those random numbers into that row. However, they came, just as they were generated by Microsoft Excel. I then sorted that Microsoft Access database based on the numerical order of those random numbers, and we picked the first 50. That's how we did it.
Okay. And do you have a list now of the other 4,234?
No, because once we developed the first, we selected the first 50, we eliminated that list because our intent is to recreate that process for the next round. So we don't have the list.
Thank you. If you can put up your slide again with regards to the nitrate levels in the prohibition zone. What process did you use to correlate these numbers here with the septic systems?
Which septic system?
You have a prohibition zone with levels of nitrates that are in the groundwater in the prohibition zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, I understand your question. You can see there on the map. This is a map provided by the Los Osos CSD, and it's very hard to see because it's very small. But you can see there that there are squares indicating improved properties, okay? And this is a grid street pattern, and let's put it another way. You have a high, I think nobody disputes that there's a high density of homes in this area. There's a high density of homes here, and there's a high density of homes in this neighborhood as well. It's by visual observation. This area is open space, or I believe it's open space. I think this is the Tri-W site around here, and this area is not developed. And so you can notice that the nitrate concentrations are less there. It's very plain to see.
And what other sources of nitrates have you identified that contributed to that other than the septic systems?
Well, we know of other sources coming down to Morro Bay. Los Osos Creek is loaded with nitrogen from agriculture, land use, etc. And that's here. And so if nitrogen was coming down here and recharging your groundwater, one would expect to see high nitrogen levels in this area. There is a very clear correlation between the area of greatest septic system density and highest nitrate concentrations. I don't consider nitrogen fixing plants to be a source of nitrogen, if that's what you're asking.
Did you or anybody on board staff that you know of personally go to any of the 45 property owners or operators that are here today and look at their septic systems if they had any?
We know that all of the 45 properties are located within the prohibition zone and violate the basin plan prohibition and therefore are subject to cease and desist orders. We did not visit the properties.
In your presentation, you used the term discharge. Can you tell me what you meant by the term discharge?
Discharge is a common term. It means the release of waste. The release of waste.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Dr. Press.
I don't think that Ms. Johnstadt has established the relevance of his cross-examination along the lines that you suggested. So I don't know where this is going. And do you intend to allow this kind of cross-examine all night? Just wondering.
That's fine. I'm done.
Okay. Well, he was back on track, Dr. Press, at least to what Mr. Thompson had been testifying about, so I was comfortable that he was in the ballpark. Okay, it was the other examination on how they chose the 45 that was, I didn't think, relevant. But go ahead. Are you done with this witness?
Correct.
Okay. Did you want to ask Mr. Briggs questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. Anyone else, Mr. Onstedt, from the prosecution team's
cross on the case in chief? No.
No. Okay. All right. Any of the designated individual property owners, Mr. Scheib, you can come first.
Rob Scheib. First, I'd like to ask Matt a few questions. Regarding the random numbers generated, under that process, I think I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and I thought the number started with 01. And I'm trying to understand how you ended up with a 00 number as the beginning number using that random number generating process.
I think some clarification is in order, Rob. The order numbers
Yes, the order.
The order numbers are different than the random numbers.
Okay.
Random numbers were numbers like carried out to the 10th decimal place. And the order numbers were just assigned to the first 50.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that explains that. And I wanted to address that slide that you guys showed that said, why CDOs now? And it's said because they would allow the prosecution and this board to inspect and repair, to notify dischargers, and what was that other one? To provide a date certain, to provide alternative if community sewer is not available, and you can enforce by injunction. Besides the last one, can you do those in other measures?
I object that that calls for a legal conclusion.
In my conversations with Matt Thompson, I was...
Excuse me. Let me just speak to the board's attorney.
Okay.
Go ahead. Why don't you? I'm going to allow the question.
Let me clarify the context within which we're allowing this question. I think you're entitled to ask Mr. Thompson if there are other mechanisms that would approach that could be used.
Absolutely.
Whether or not those mechanisms would be chosen.
I understand that, but the first line at the top says, why issue CDOs now? And so they are using those examples as specific reasons why to issue CDOs.
You may ask your question, but
okay.
Understand that it's not appropriate for Mr. Thompson to be providing legal conclusions about various things.
Okay. Do you want me to re-ask the question?
Yes, please, Rob.
Okay. What I was wondering is, are there other measures through your water quality enforcement procedures that would allow you to have inspection and repair, to notify dischargers, and to date certain to provide alternative if community sewer is not available?
I believe there are, but I am not certain.
Okay. Thank you. And then now, under that last line, under can enforce injunctions, you described yourself as a water quality enforcement procedures expert to me, correct? That this was your, what you were really good in, and so you understand this field. I just want to make sure before I start asking you questions on it.
Are you saying that he testified to that?
No, this was something he told me in a conversation.
When?
A month ago, because I was asking him specific questions about this, trying to mitigate this situation before we got in front of you.
Okay.
I recall talking to Rob on repeated occasions. I talked to a lot of the designated parties on repeated occasions. I don't recall saying I'm a water quality enforcement procedures expert. I'm familiar with water quality enforcement procedures.
Okay. Well, are you familiar with the terms in the water quality enforcement procedures of cooperative dischargers and recalcitrant violators?
Uh, I could tell the difference between cooperative dischargers and recalcitrant dischargers, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, well, but I'm just because I have been studying the water quality enforcement procedures, and it's a term that I have found in there several times, and so I just wanted to, before I started asking you questions on it, I wanted to make sure you understood that what those were. Now, under that third line, under that fourth line, if you were to use one of those other measures, that would allow dischargers that would want to move forward to become cooperative dischargers. So that way, this board would have a much smaller number of the recalcitrant violators to deal with.
Is that a question?
Yes, that was a yes or no question.
I need you to restate the question.
Okay. By using some of those other measures that may be available, would that allow the prosecution staff to determine cooperative dischargers and recalcitrant violators so that the board that we're in front of today can deal with only with the recalcitrant violators and allow cooperative dischargers to have inspection and repair to put us on notice and to give us a date to provide an alternative if a community sewer is not available?
Mr. Scheib, your questions are off on a different tangent.
Okay.
Okay. Their testimony is everyone is in violation just by discharging. And you're trying to create a distinction that maybe some are recalcitrant and some are not recalcitrant or cooperative. It's not relevant.
That wasn't my point. If I could just address what my point was, and maybe I can help get back onto it. My point was,
Mr. Scheib,
yes,
you will have an opportunity during your presentation to rebut any testimony and assertions and argument and positions that the prosecution team has made.
Okay.
The purpose of cross-examination is to test the credibility and knowledge of the witnesses who have testified. And that's the purpose of the cross-examination. It is not to give you an opportunity to
testify
testify and rebut the testimony that they've made.
Okay. Thank you for that distinction. And then in that case, basically, like I said, the main thing I wanted to hit was the why CDOs are not now.
So you're testifying.
Yes. No, I've asked.
Right.
That was the question I wanted, and it's been addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Martin?
That is correct. Mr. Chairman, I would like to have – I have prepared a list of questions, and I would like to have Gail McPherson present them for me, if you would be so kind as to.
That's fine.
It. Thank you very
That's
much.
Fine.
Is it important that we know who she's speaking? Is she speaking
on behalf
of
Alan Martin?
Just him.
Mr. Martin.
Just Mr. Martin. Because I know she's representing a bunch of people.
Yeah, and
I just want to make that clear.
Okay. Okay. I have a question.
Is that correct, Ms. McPherson, that you are at this point representing? You were presenting the questions that Mr. Martin has prepared for you?
Yes. I have a procedural question. Since the individual discharges will have an opportunity for cross-examination during the individual presentations, if they're just asking questions on behalf of themselves, is this the appropriate point to be doing that?
You know, I think it's appropriate because this testimony has come in at this point. It's fresh. I don't know what's going to happen as things get chopped up. And I will exercise my discretion later to curtail questions that have already been asked and answered by previous witnesses.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to ask if in the process of the development of the cease and desist orders that you looked at whether or not enforcement actions based on ability to pay, and when you put together your criteria for the septic tank pumping program, if that was a consideration.
My understanding of the ability to pay requirements is that it applies to administrative civil liability orders and not cease and desist orders.
Okay. Did you consider health effects outside of the diesel fumes, bacterial contamination in neighborhoods where pumping is going to be 100 pumps a day? Or I think you said 82 pumps a day.
I believe that pumping out septic tanks does not contribute significant bacterial pollutant loading to air.
And what is your qualifications for that statement? Are you what are your qualifications?
Again, I have a bachelor's degree in environmental engineering. I'm a registered civil engineer.
Are you aware of the Lane County incident of airborne bacteria contamination and the illnesses that ensued?
Did you say L.A. County?
No,
or
it's
Lane County?
Lane County, and it's Lane County, specifically a fairgrounds. It's a lawsuit.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay. I was wondering on the issue about the DNA studies that were brought up in the presentation. Are you aware that that Dr. Kitts, Christopher Kitts, is on our witness list?
Yeah, I saw his name on the list.
Okay. He did make a statement several times, and I'd like to read from a very short statement in an email that's been submitted.
Not at this time.
Okay. Are you aware that he refutes your statement that that this is E. coli is proof of failing septic tanks?
Ms. McPherson, it's best if you have the witness, just let the witness go ahead and state
okay.
that, and I think that's
sure.
the most powerful way to challenge the statement of someone else.
Okay.
Next question.
The Black and Veatch study, the conclusions in the Black and Veatch study. They concluded that it was just hard to monitor. Is that...
Okay, you're not going to testify, Ms. McPherson. You can ask questions.
Okay. Did you model in any way whether or not appropriate it would be it was an appropriate measure to improve groundwater with the pumping of the septic tanks, or is this just a guess?
Did we model it? Is that what you asked? I want to
do some sort of analysis or model other than the.
Pumping would it's plain to see that pumping out the septic tanks would reduce wastewater loading to the Los Osos groundwater basin. We did not do any sophisticated modeling, no.
The 2010 date, how can individuals, what do individuals do at 2010? If they've been pumping all that time, what do they do at 210 if there isn't a plant to hook up to?
They would essentially have to pump and haul or vacate the property. The cease and desist orders provide that you can propose an alternate method, or excuse me, submit a technical report proposing a method of complying.
Okay.
But again, septic system discharges are prohibited. So the only way of really complying is to eliminate the discharge.
This violation of the basin plan, is this a public health emergency?
Well, when you consider that your drinking water supply exceeds drinking water standards, yes, I believe so.
The supply, can you clarify that? Is the supply that is served to the district in violation of the drinking water standards?
I believe that you guys pull your water now from deeper wells and treat it. So...
Folks, please, no commenting from the
okay,
back.
Okay, let me back up. I believe that you pump from deeper, cleaner supplies, or where the particular well exceeds drinking water standards, you treat it. That's my best understanding of your water supply quality.
Are we in violation of the Safe Drinking Water Act?
I don't know. I think the Community Services District would be better to ask that.
I just have one more, I think. When you did the random selection, you used a statistical package within Excel. Is that what you testified to? Can I know what version?
Yeah, we use Microsoft Office Professional SR 2000. I don't know what SR means. We use the Microsoft Office 2000 package, and as part of that package is Microsoft Excel. And as a part, my understanding of the way it works is you have a couple CDs for the program, and they have add-ins to the program. And the data analysis tool pack is an add-in, which I believe anybody that has Microsoft Office could obtain.
Okay. Are you aware that the tool pack allows you to analyze various statistical probabilities?
Yeah. That's what Excel is.
Yeah.
Statistical.
We were curious because Mr. Payne and Mr. Allaby are next door neighbors, and the statistical probability. Are you aware of that coincidence?
I understand that they live next door to each other.
Okay. Okay, and then the very last thing I have is, do you know the difference between the leach bed and a leach field?
Yeah, a leach bed is, rather than having, 3 foot wide leach lines that are 10 feet apart, like a leach field, a leach bed might be, a 3 foot deep by, 10 foot wide by 20 foot long gravel lined bed.
Okay.
It's essentially a flat seepage pit.
Is that the information you received from the septic tank expert? When you received that, were you both speaking about the same thing? I guess my question is, are you certain that when he said leach pit and the rest were leach beds, that he wasn't referring to leach fields?
You're referring to the septic system installer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how many of the leach fields that you've installed or repaired in Los Osos are leach fields, clearly meaning dispersal fields? And he said, well, I said, is it like, what, 8 or 9 out of 10? And he said, well, no, you'd have to count it out of 100. And he said, because of the density of septic systems in Los Osos, that 99 out of 100 are either leach beds or seepage pits.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next. Property owner that wishes to examine the prosecution team. And ma'am, could you state
Hi.
Your name?
My name is Kitty Thomas.
Okay.
And I am CDO.
Okay.
I have two questions, and I apologize if it's not necessarily appropriate. This is not a normal forum for me.
You don't do this every day?
Pardon?
You don't do this every day?
No, not every day.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
One, when the original prohibition was done in 1988, how were all of the property owners notified, and from that date forward as property was sold, how were they notified? That's one question I have. And I don't know.
Well, let's take one at a time.
Oh, actually, okay. All right, then I have three.
That's okay. Fine.
Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Is that for both?
Well, does someone else have the answer to that on?
Actually, the notification was in 1983 when okay. The resolution was adopted. And as far as subsequent property owners being notified, as far as I know, the regional board has not provided that notification. I would expect that the realtors would provide that sort of disclosure.
I am a California licensed realtor, and that is not any information that is given to us.
Excuse me, but this is not your opportunity to testify.
Okay.
You may
ask
them questions.
Okay, I'll tell that later. Forget that. The next question I have then is for Mr. Thompson. Mr. Michael Thomas gave me Mr. Thompson's name for prospective buyers for Los Osos. Can I continue with that? And just want to know if Mr. Thompson recalls a conversation with a gentleman who was interested in buying in Los Osos, and he had said, and I don't have this person, this is definitely hearsay, that you said you would never buy in Los Osos because the water quality is so bad, and that was your personal opinion, though you were speaking as a professional giving them your information for the Regional Water Quality Board.
What was the question?
Well, as the CSD and the Regional Quality Board are the two forces that are conducting this and have put this upon, is affecting Los Osos. So these are the two sources that prospective homeowners in Los Osos go to for information. And I'm asking if Mr. Thompson recalls telling a prospective buyer that he wouldn't buy in Los Osos because the water quality was so poor.
Yes, I don't remember the gentleman's name. But when asked if I would buy in Los Osos, I replied no.
I don't know if this witness or this person has any other questions along these lines, but if she does, I object based on relevance.
Okay.
I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Sir, state your
Jeff
name.
Jeff Crowd. Our CDO is 1029.
Okay.
And I had a few questions for Mr. Thompson.
Anyone on the prosecution team staff that you want to ask questions of, go ahead.
Thank you. Not to belabor the point, Mr. Thompson, and I appreciate the several hard years you put in at Cal Poly. No joke intended. But specific training within your profession, specific to septic or septic tanks or on-site disposal systems, could you expound on that just a little bit as to what your training would be on that? I understand in the profession it's a bit of a lost topic, and I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit, please.
Yeah, my concentration in environmental engineering was wastewater treatment. And much of that training was focused on centralized wastewater systems. I, as I said previously, most of my hands-on knowledge of on-site wastewater systems came through my experience here at the Water Quality Control Board.
If could we try and quantify it? In other words, did you have 50 units of sewer type treatment classes and 5 units of septic system, or can you give me some type just to help me understand, just some type of quantification? Your best estimate, I understand.
Can I go get my transcripts, please?
I'll accept your best guess and consider it under your
I don't know.
There's no guessing. His best estimate.
Out of 210 units focused on wastewater, you mean focused on on-site wastewater? Focused on wastewater, maybe 30.
But specifically on-site, our issue at hand, our septic tanks.
None.
Okay. So no formal training on septic, but you've been on the board here since 97, was that correct? Almost 10 years. And your training's been through your work here, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. During your presentation, and if I may ask also, you had a slide that said the CDOs were appropriate, and it listed some items, and I wonder if we might be able to see that slide again. And while you're bringing that up, during the presentation, the statement was made, the boundaries to the prohibition zone are appropriate. I believe you made that statement, and if not, directed to the panel here, I would ask why you feel that boundary is an appropriate boundary.
I'm going to object to the question because I can't object. We're not here to test the validity or the legality of the prohibition zone. So
I was trying to follow up the statement. If that's out of line, then I'll move on. But they raised the issue.
Go ahead. You made the statement. Mr. Thompson, go ahead and give an explanation.
I believe the prohibition zone boundary is appropriate because of the very strong correlation between nitrate concentrations in groundwater and the prohibition zone boundary.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I would point out that while you have allowed the witness to answer the question, the fact is that the validity of the prohibition zone boundaries are not an issue before the board at this time. The prohibition zone boundaries were established in 1983 by a resolution of the board that was approved by the State Water Resources Control Board and is now ensconced in the basin plan, and those are the boundaries that the regional board has to work with, implement, and respect and enforce in all its subsequent proceedings, such as this one.
And okay. And if I, that was my last question on that issue. Anyways, thank you, Mr. Richards.
Okay.
If I may still get that one other slide, Mr. Thompson, I would appreciate it. The different nitrate studies, the CAT studies, Black and Veatch, and I believe there were one or two other studies done at that time, and you cited some issues of nitrates in your presentation. Did you differentiate between any of the studies? Did you give any one more relevance than the other, or did they kind of all flow together?
I believe that actual monitoring data, which I have presented here, is much more relevant than those studies. I'm not sure I understand your question. Maybe you can restate it.
Some of those studies gave us different conclusions, so I guess perhaps I'm wondering if you weighed heavily on one of those studies for your conclusions.
Maybe I could answer this because Mr. Thompson didn't mention the Black and Veatch study. There's a huge number of studies on Los Osos in general, but the information that we presented here in this groundwater data is from the recent groundwater monitoring from the CSD. So that's what this data is.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to skip a couple questions. I would like to ask the slide there, and simply the caption, why issue the CDOs now? And I would ask the panel here if they had given thought to issuing orders other than cease and desist orders before we came to this point in time today.
I object based on relevance, and I also object to the extent that the answer would disclose confidential enforcement investigation or attorney-client privilege information.
Well, I think that's an important point, that the answer to that question involves conversations they've had with their lawyer, and so that's protected. I mean, the fact is, this is what they chose to do. They chose CDOs. Sounds like they could have done other things. But this is what they chose to do. That's what we're looking at today.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Let me perhaps guide the designated parties in their cross-examination. This slide presents recommendations and rationale that the prosecution staff is urging the board to take a particular action for these reasons, among others. It is not factual evidence. The purpose of cross-examination is to give parties an opportunity to test the credibility of witnesses who have testified to factual evidence. Therefore, when you ask the prosecution team or any other witnesses questions, you need to focus on the factual testimony that they have given. And the scientific technical basis for that. If you're dealing with an expert witness who has given an opinion as to a certain thing, then you can also examine that witness about the basis for the opinion. But you cannot go into an inquiry as to the internal deliberations of the prosecution team. As to why they chose one particular approach over another.
Thank you, Mr. Richards.
Okay.
One last question,
sure.
If you will indulge. The Excel random chart, is that available as evidence for us to review?
Asked and answered.
Well, I think he...
I mean a hard copy. I understand the process that was used.
Let me ask this. You know, what's the relevancy of how they came up with their randomized list? I mean, does everybody here want us to accept the inference that these 45 were targeted in an unrandomized fashion?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then we don't have to ask any more questions. Because I understand that that's the inference that you want us to take from this, but I don't know what else he can do or any witness can do with this testimony. He's described a randomized way that they came up with these 50 and then 45 properties. You guys can make the point that you think there was intent here, that the 45 or the 50 were targeted, and we'll listen to that. But we could spend a lot of time on tangents. It's not going to be fruitful to us. So he told you what program he actually had. Now, do you want his computer?
No, sir.
How far?
Actually, I wanted to review it to look for the randomization. That's an area I'm fairly well at. But that's fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm not going to allow, because I really don't think it's close to where we should be with our questions. That's all.
Mr. Chairman, okay. In fact... I'm not sure that it would be relevant if they could, in fact, establish that these people had been chosen for some particular reason.
Right. Okay. Any other questions, sir?
Thank you for your time.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Moylan.
Yes, my name is Mr. Moylan.
Yeah.
And I speaking to your counsel, Mr. Richards there, I think there would be a lot of relevance, especially if it was a certain selection process going on, because it would be discriminatory. But let me get to my questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to be brief. I've only got like two or three questions. And so a simple yes or no will suffice.
Okay.
First, my question is to Lori Okun. In your testimony, Lori, you were talking...
Well, she didn't testify. You know, okay. She presents a case. She's a lawyer. Like Mr. Onstad really doesn't testify, he asks questions. He will be asking questions.
Okay, well, she made a statement. This is in regards to a statement she made.
I don't mind letting him ask the question before I object.
Okay.
Okay, Lori. You were talking about the APCD and balancing out whether it was better to pump the aquifer or pump the septic tanks to clean up the aquifer, or would the actual air pollution, you know, would the balancing act be better to pump the aquifer? And I think you said something to this effect, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You said, well, we'd have to study and weigh the impacts of air pollution versus water quality, and if it merits it, then pumping the septics out would outweigh the negative effects of air pollution. Now, that is an opinion, isn't it? And it's not based on science.
Objection. I was making a legal argument, and it's not appropriate for cross-examination.
When would it be appropriate for me to cross-examine you, Lori?
Well, it's not appropriate to examine lawyers.
Well, I just wanted to ask her...
Appropriate to examine lawyers. Okay, they're not witnesses.
Well, I just wanted to know.
I mean,
I'm telling you. All right, we got one shot down. Let me ask the next question. Well, this has to go to Matt Thompson, whom I've had the pleasure of meeting and speaking to a couple of times. And I think the first time we met Matt, we were talking about, and I'm going to get to my question. I have to freshen his memory about this. When we first met and we sat down in the lobby, and I poured out my heart to you, and I said, the issuance of these CDOs is going to hurt many, many people. There are people that are just living on a shoestring. And I said, didn't you know that that would hurt many, many people? And you said to me something to the effect of, what could we do? The project was stopped. So my question, Matt, is, did issuing these CDOs have anything to do with changing the political will of the people? A simple yes or no will do. You're under oath.
Issuance of the cease and desist orders is intended to compel compliance.
Did it have anything to do with changing, even a little bit, even partially, the political will of the people of Los Osos to get them to put in the sewer plant in the middle of town? Was that a consideration? A simple yes or no will do.
I wouldn't call it the political will, but something has to change in Los Osos, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ma'am, can you tell us who you are?
Lori McCombs.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are you aware of the septic tank pumping cost increases?
In
to Matt.
Okay. Since when?
Have you recalculated costs for fueling and dumping fees? When was your
No, I understand study? That the septic tank pumping is on the average between $275 and $400.
Well, that's... No, it's not. Are you aware of increases in July of last year, of course?
No, ma'am.
Have you considered any revision to the cost estimates or impacts?
Of what, ma'am?
The cost estimates of pumping and having it dumped.
No, we haven't.
I need to make sure I understand the question. Do you mean other than the $275 to $400 per trip?
Correct, because that is not a correct figure at all.
Well, when you have your opportunity, you can tell us all about what the costs are.
Okay. What is the dumping capacity at Santa Maria? Do we know that? Because that's
yes.
where it's going to go.
Yes. We, prior to issuance of the draft cease and desist orders, we consulted City of Santa Maria Wastewater Treatment Plant staff. They did their own independent calculations and determined that they had adequate capacity to accept the septage resulting from our proposed cease and desist orders.
When was this conversation?
This was in late January 2006. I'd have to check my notes to get the exact date.
And what did they say the capacity was?
The capacity of the Sorrel, that's your facility. I think it's 6 million gallons per day, and their current flows like a fraction of that, maybe half or 60% of that.
I think the question is, what's the capacity for additional septage? Is that what the question is? Yeah. We didn't specifically ask for the gallon capacity.
So we don't know if all that gets pumped can go there.
Well, his testimony, ma'am, was that they asked the plant whether they could receive what was being proposed. The answer from the septic from the Santa Maria was, we can accept what you're proposing to generate. So that's kind of
thank
a way
you.
To get that question answered. Okay, thank you.
Chris Alvey, CDO number 19.
Okay.
All right. I've just been waiting for a chance to get this random selection figured out. You're dealing with me. You're dealing with the biggest idiot in California when it comes to computers. I know nothing about them at all. And it was my understanding, Mr. Thompson here, said that they picked 3,500 numbers out of a strip.
You know what? I'm not going to allow any questions into this, how they chose the 50 that they did. It's not relevant to what issues are before the board. We've heard they used a computer program to do it.
Yeah, which is, I'm wondering why.
Well,
why not put a bunch of beans in a barrel and spin it around and pull 50 beans out of there?
Well, I don't see any importance into.
Oh, and were there any witnesses
to that? Well,
he can answer that question.
Yes, there was a witness. I had staff member Allison Milholland look over my back as I did it.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better. All right, I'll be back in a little bit.
Okay. And your name, sir?
Mr. Mattingly, once again.
Okay.
I was just wondering, Mr. Thompson, could you put the prohibition zone back up onto the screen, please? One thing, first question is, was there a restudy of the 1983 selection of the prohibition zone?
No.
Okay. Also, you expressed that you had spoken with a pumping expertise or a septic pump guy. What certification or expertise certifications did you get from him before receiving this information? Did you check his credentials? Excuse me.
I spoke to the one conversation I remember most was with Roger Green of Ingram and Green, who has been doing it for like 30 years, and he's widely regarded as one of the best or the most honest pumping service providers.
By who?
By the wastewater community, which I am in constant communication with.
Okay. How many septic pumpers are currently pumping in Los Osos, please?
I don't know.
And did you not feel it necessary to maybe ask all of the septic pumpers, expertise septic pumpers, to get their expertise and their certifications and maybe actually check credentials and what kind of schooling they had on septic systems and pumping and discharge of fumes and grease and oil from underneath the vehicles that they will be using on the streets on a random occasion?
Hang on. I don't know that I heard any testimony that there is more than one pumper. Did you testify, Mr. Thompson, that there is more than one pumper operating?
What I'm asking is he said he had checked one person. That saying he had checked one of the pumpers is saying that there is more than one pumper in Los Osos, sir.
Excuse me. Do you know if there is more than one pumper operating?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's OWLS, which is located in Los Osos and does a lot of work there, but I presume that most of the other major companies also do work in Los Osos.
Okay.
Who could you find out who does the most pumping? I'd like to dispute that. I think OWLS probably does the most.
I believe that OWLS does the most.
You do believe that, but you did not question the person who does the most?
Objection, relevance.
Relevance is he took one person's say instead of getting everybody's when he had an ample chance, unlike the people of Los Osos that haven't had an ample chance to prepare themselves. He has had the ample chance. He's the one that decided to put this upon us.
I also object to this question as vague because I'm not sure what Mr. Thompson consulted the septic pumper about. The question wasn't clear.
It was the 99% of... leach fields and the pit, seepage pits. I'm sure you can look into the transcripts of what was said earlier, unless you want me to do it for you.
There's a distinction that needs to be made, sir. I was referring to a septic system installer and repairer, a backhoe operator named Frank Merrill. When I was referring to the number of seepage pits and leach beds versus leach fields.
So you took the person that does it the least in Los Osos?
He spoke to an installer repair, not a pumper.
No reason to get upset, sir.
I think there's a distinction between a septic system installer and somebody who pumps it out.
Actually, Al does install.
Okay,
probably
sir,
most
you'll
of
have
septic
an
systems.
Opportunity when it's your time to
okay,
put
next,
on all
next
the
question, sir.
Excuse me.
And
Board Member Shallcross.
Yes. I'd like to ask a quick question of Matt. Whether a person in the prohibition zone has a leach field, a leach pit, or what's the other one? The third one.
Leach bed.
Leach bed. Yeah. Does that matter for purposes of a violation or not a violation of the prohibitions of the order?
No, sir.
Just
wait your turn.
Sure.
So what's the distinction? I mean, were you bringing that up? What does it matter whether 99% are leach fields or 99%? I mean, why is this an issue? And so.
I was asked a question and I answered it.
No. I'm in your original description. Why did you bring that up?
You put a slide up there.
You put a slide up that showed the difference between
a seepage
field, seepage pits. And so when you did that, apparently it seemed to some people here that there's some distinction of import there. And all I'm trying to get to is there for purposes of a cease and desist order in this case. Would a person who had a leach field be treated any differently than a person with a seepage pit or a leach bed within the prohibition zone?
No, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
So I'm really wondering what the relevancy of all this is.
Well, he just made a statement. I wanted to find out where he was going with this statement. And if he had a chart,
question.
It must have some relevance.
Next
I
question.
Yes, another one for the layman. Let's see. I would say, could you tell me what a vadose zone is, please? And if you can tell me what a vadose zone is, could you point out where the highest vadose zone is in Los Osos, please, and what residents are in that vadose zone that have been selected in this 45 supposed lucky lottery winners?
Vadose zone is also sometimes called the unsaturated zone. That is the part of the soil column where water, wastewater, whatever you have there, is moving down through the soil column. And as far as your second question, you're asking where there's the most vado zone, and to my knowledge, the groundwater flow roughly mimics topography. And I can get you more detailed information, but this area is the more elevated part of town, and I presume that it has
the highest vado zone.
Most separation to groundwater, yes.
Okay, and is it true that in a vado zone, that is the highest likelihood place for a septic system to work?
If the septic system was properly sited, yes.
Okay. Have you done any tests on proper siting of the septic systems?
There are numerous technical references referring to proper septic system density.
Have you came to my house to look at my illegal discharging septic to see if it was placed, since I do live in the highest vado zone, which I have been notified is the most likely place in all of Los Osos for a septic system to work?
Mr. Chair, didn't you rule on the relevancy of the discharge to the in the prohibition zone? I mean,
I did. I am.
Do you want to enforce that ruling?
A little bit of leeway for these people to ask questions that are somewhat related to this.
This is also to...
It's important to them. It may not have that much relevancy to the issues that I have continued to spell out are before us. So, but I understand your point.
Your worries.
You know, sir, obviously there's high levels even in your area.
Yes, I do understand that, but I'm wondering
I'm a little concerned it's missing something critical. Okay.
Well, where I'm going with this is if this prohibition zone was adapted in 1983, I think was what I heard, and the studies haven't really been re-looked at about when they did this, and technology being the way it is a lot better, like we do have Microsoft. I don't remember that system of the random numbers being back in 1983 when I went to Morro Bay High School. It could have been. I don't know. I might not have been there.
Okay, please make your point.
But what I'm going at is maybe that we should revisit the whole thought of this prohibition zone.
All right, sir,
and look into that.
That is not before us. And
okay. Oh, you're out of here, officer.
So no more questions about that.
If the vado zone is there and they didn't look at this vado zone in 1983.
You'll be able to testify and make that point.
Thank you, sir.
Turn. Thank you.
I'd also like to object for the record
one
that
more,
states the testimony.
One more thing. I'm going to have Mr. Dugan ask you a couple questions for me. Thank you.
Wait, are you an interested person? Or a...
No, he doesn't... As you can tell, he can't articulate
his questions.
No, he does
quite well, actually. You're an interested person.
These are some of the questions that he's asked me.
Excuse me. No. No. He's capable of doing it himself.
Such as Gal McPherson had a chance to ask for somebody else?
I'm sorry. You're going to speak for this gentleman who just spoke?
Yes.
No. Next, please.
Mr. Chair, my name is Tim Rockte.
Yes.
I'm CDO 1015, and I had a couple of questions. I've been a resident of Los Osos for over 25 years, and I've been doing a fair amount of research on the water quality issue out there. I have a question about the governmental accountability, and I understand that through the testimony given this morning that the prohibition zone was established in 1983 and went into effect in 1988. My understanding further is if the county permitted an additional 1,000-plus septic tanks out there. Is that correct? I believe that's correct. Why was it that the Water Board did not issue CDOs at that time?
Okay. And, sir, all right. Do we have any staff back there? Because the next person that claps, I do want them to leave, and I'd like someone to help me with this. I know that people are doing that from the back of the room. I've asked numerous times, and I guess you don't take me seriously. Do we have any staff back here? Mr. Briggs? Or the officer? Officer, thank you. Please. You've got my permission. The next time this happens, just ask them to leave for me. Thank you.
I'll try to ask questions that don't elicit applause.
Okay.
So my question again was just why...
And how is that relevant to what's before us?
Well, because it was what they testified. They stated that
right.
there were...
1,000 more properties
yes,
that were allowed to be developed? You
know, yeah, and I'm okay. just wondering why CDOs... I'll certainly bring this up in my
okay.
testimony, but I just wondered if... to save time later, they could answer that question now. Maybe Sorrel
knows. We actually
knows
didn't state that, but if you do want someone to answer that question, Ms. Marks would be the appropriate person okay. to answer it.
Go ahead.
Was the question, why didn't we issue cease and desist, or why didn't the board issue cease and desist orders?
Correct.
They did.
They did in 88?
Actually, through... some were issued in 87, 88,
okay.
and 89.
Thank you for clarifying that. Why didn't it get to this point back then? Why are we only getting to this now, some 20 years later?
I'm not clear on what the question is.
Why are cease and desist orders being proposed at this point
exactly,
in time?
Right.
I thought that Ms. Marks problem. Just testified that some were ordered in 87 and 88.
Okay. All right, well...
That's the testimony.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering why they didn't pursue it further at that time, as is the case now.
And how is that the answer to that relevant to what we are determining today?
It has to do with, I believe, the weak level of staff work that has been done and continues to be done.
In terms of what?
In terms of the level of technical expertise that is possessed by the part of the staff.
In terms of what? With
in
respect
terms of
to what issues? Whether people are discharging in violation of the basin plan?
Why are they now only getting around to this level of CDOs?
Well...
Okay, I'll continue. I have just a couple more questions.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Matt, did you research the number of septic tank installers in Los Osos? How many there are?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you research the number of septic tank pumpers?
Yeah, a little bit. There are about a dozen that are in the phone book that service this area.
Okay. And in order to find out the number of installers, you could have gone to the phone book. You went to one, is that my understanding? Or is that what you said?
Objection, that misstates his testimony.
Okay, I believe that's what he said. He only talked to one. Mr. Chair, my point is, and I'll bring it back in my later testimony, is that there's a very weak level of research being done by the staff, and there's too much at stake in the community for this to be allowed.
Okay, you can testify to that when it's your turn. Thank you.
My name is Antoinette Payne, and I have received a CDO. I am a real estate broker in Los Osos. I have a question for Mr. Thompson, because I, too, have spoken to septic specialists in Los Osos. And I had asked Mr. Thompson, I think the first night when we all gathered, when we first received the CDOs, if pumping my septic tank every 2 months was going to be detrimental to my tank and to my property. And he replied that that wasn't so. And when I spoke with Al Septic, he stated specifically that septics were not made to be that way.
Ma'am, do you have a question for any of the witnesses of the water board staff? Is there a question that you're proposing?
Well, I'll just repeat the question, I guess,
well,
because the question is, does frequent pumping of septic tanks destroy the septic tank?
Okay, that's a good question. Mr. Thompson, can you answer that question?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Now, can I disagree because of what I know?
No. When it's your turn to put on your case, then you can disagree all you want, and you can call witnesses to impeach that testimony. That's how it's done. Okay.
I have two other
questions. Have you already asked questions?
Yeah, but I got excited.
Well, I know. And I'm sir, are you waiting to ask questions also? Please come forward. I want to take care of everyone first who has not had an opportunity.
I'm Larry Bishop, and I have a CDO.
Yes.
And I'll even stay on topic for you. So I hope everybody gets to listen to this. Matt Thompson.
It's a question, right?
That's a question. Everybody wake up. Matt, if you remember back in the beginning of February when my wife and I came in and read all the documents, we had a conversation, and I asked you what would the level of nitrates leaving my septic tank be acceptable limits. Do you remember your answer?
Yes, I do. All discharges are prohibited, Larry. But when we were discussing alternative methods of compliance, something that we were alternatives to the septic tank pumping requirement, something that we were considering internally was a performance standard equivalent to the waste discharge requirements issued to the Community Services District in 2003. And that was the effluent from the septic tank would have to achieve total nitrogen, a long-term average total nitrogen, probably a monthly average of 7 milligrams per liter, and a short-term requirement, like a daily maximum, of 10 milligrams per liter.
So you're saying that it is acceptable to have a discharge of 7 milligrams per liter?
Absolutely not. All septic system discharges are prohibited. That was something we were considering as an alternative to the septic tank pumping requirement to reduce pollutant loading in the interim. It was to satisfy the interim compliance requirement of the cease and desist order.
Well, at the time you told us that if we could get it down to 7, we could probably avoid the pumping. My next question is the groundwater to septic tank distance through the ground. What is acceptable?
Okay, he's not going to answer it because
we've all. One of the questions, and I have a specific point.
The point is for this proceeding, if there's a discharge, that's the issue staff is making, that's what's actionable. Not the distance.
Okay.
The groundwater. So
they said that the groundwater, that it made no difference. According to the prosecution documents, under the basin plan, they said that 35 feet was an acceptable distance for groundwater separation.
In this Los Osos?
In Los Osos Valley. This is why they
said...
Wait.
In the prohibition zone or elsewhere in Los Osos?
This is why they said
no.
Outside the prohibition zone was acceptable. We have the same ground level, inside and out.
Yeah, but that's a different standard. Okay. And we don't have... I don't see any evidence being presented that there are high nitrate levels in groundwater elsewhere.
That's because there's no monitoring levels out there.
Okay.
Okay, my next question. You have this displayed up here, but you do not have the actual measurements from the testing wells?
Yeah, I have the actual measurements. They're on there. Which well do you want? I can show you the data. I mean, we have all of the data, Larry.
Well, I'm saying that this is a snapshot in time, and if you look at the total time period from 1982 to 2005, you'll see that out of 9 months out of the year, you have a very low. During the wetter seasons, you have a high tolerance. And
Mr. Bishop, if you're going to testify, you can do that later.
I think he's misleading the board of what the nitrate levels are actually.
Okay, and when it's your opportunity, then you can give us the information that you think we should be considering or that discredits their testimony. So you can ask some questions about it, but don't get into the testimony, your own testimony.
Well, I'm asking why he decided not to provide you with
the actual data.
Measurements, the data that he colored in and said this is what it is.
This is the most recent data we have, and as I testified, it represents general conditions in Los Osos. I have, again, all septic system discharges in the prohibition zone are prohibited, and I'm simply intended to summarize that the water quality impacts, and the most recent data is the most appropriate way to do that.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
Matt, over what period of time was this data taken? Why don't you tell us more about it?
I think the monitor.
I saw the date 2005 somewhere.
It was taken in October 2005. There's something like 26 wells, and I think the monitoring event takes a few days.
And how many data points are there?
I believe there are 26 well data points represented by this figure.
And those are the blue dots? Are those the wells?
Actually, they're...
Those are the 45 CDO recipients.
This box right here?
Yeah.
That represents the result from the well that is right next to it.
Okay.
So that's the actual data.
That box says 17.
One says 17. That one says 20.
Okay.
14.
So that is the data.
That's the actual data,
Mr. Bishop, there's the data.
Okay. That indicates that the nitrate level increased from 2.4 to 12 in 5 months. Now, it's either saying that the data's wrong or... There's some major thing happening.
You'll have your opportunity to address this. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
CDO 1043.
And your name, sir?
I'd like to just go by my CDO number.
Okay.
Please. Thank you. Can I ask a clarifying question, Ms. Oakham, on something that she presented?
Well, you can ask her anything you want.
Ms. Oakham, when you said that prosecution said that you said everything should be consistently applied was one of the reasonings for waiting to do the pumping to the study. Could you explain that a little further? Do you remember that slide you showed up there and you said that was one of the reasons? I just didn't understand quite what you meant by that.
I don't mind answering.
Go ahead.
We think it's important that all dischargers who are similarly situated should be treated the same. If it's necessary to impose conditions or mitigations to minimize any potential air quality impacts, we think that it's important to know what those conditions might be before any pumping requirements are imposed so that the board will know whether they should be imposed on certain people due to their location based on data, water quality data, separation to groundwater, or whatever factors the board wants to consider. I'm not suggesting that one thing is more important than another. I just was suggesting that if there are going to be differences between the various orders, the board needs to know what those differences are before they decide who to impose what requirements on.
Thank you. Would that also apply then to if there was pumping to be done, that the pumping would wait till all cease and desist orders are issued, so there is not a disparity in pumping among recipients of cease and desist orders?
I object to the question. That was not anything I testified to, and I'm not a witness.
I just was seeking clarification if that's what she was implying, but she answered my question.
Okay.
The other question I had was if, with your recommendation right now, you are not recommending pumping until an environmental impact report or some kind of study is done on it. At a later date, if pumping is part of the cease and desist orders, would that require another hearing before the board?
Yes.
Thank you.
If it's in the form of a cease and desist order as opposed to some other forms of orders that can be issued by the executive officer.
Okay.
Did that answer my question? I'm not sure.
I think she said, in her opinion,
yes,
her legal opinion,
yes,
it would require a subsequent hearing.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mr. Moylan, you have
two questions. Yes. My name is Bill Moylan, and this question is for Sorrel Marks. The first time I came down here, after we were ordered to come down to provide information about who lived in our home, all the people 18 years older, with the threat of $1,000 fines, so I came down right away. I talked to Sorrel, and I asked Sorrel, lost my
Moylan, what is your question for this?
I'm trying
witness.
To get to it. I said, what can I do, Laurel? Sorrel, what can I do? I said, I'm just one person. I can't make the CSD just suddenly build a sewer. What can I do? And she said, well, you need to get the community together. And the question that I had after that was, well, they've already canceled. I said, what are our options? And you said, well, you do have that Tri-W site that you guys voted. And I said, yeah. And what was I supposed to draw from that statement of yours?
If I recall our conversation correctly, you asked me if anything could be done.
I said, what could I do? I'm just one person.
And I pointed out some of the alternatives that could be done.
You said, well, you did have that Tri-W site there, and you kind of left it hanging in the air. And what was I supposed to draw from that statement of yours?
And what is the importance of that answer? What is it relevant to?
It's relevant to,
I mean, let's say the Tri-W site is an alternative. Okay. Let's assume
okay.
that it is.
Okay. I guess that answers my question. Now, I do have one for Matt. You just recently said in testimony that it's plain to see that pumping the tanks will clean up the groundwater, and yet the biology teacher that spoke here earlier this evening said that it takes decades to clean up aquifer the size that we have. Decades. So your statement about it's plain to see it will clean up the aquifer is not based on science, is it, Matt?
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
I said frequent septic tank pumping would reduce pollutant loading to Los Osos' groundwater basin.
And you're certain about that? It's based on science. Now, are you certain that it will clean up the groundwater?
If you reduce the
volume. Objection, that misstates what he just testified to.
I just asked him if he was certain that it would clean up the groundwater.
I think it's his opinion that it will reduce pollutant loading. That's his testimony.
Okay, it's an opinion. Thank you.
But I think it's appropriate to recognize Ms. Okun's objection that he repeatedly misstated what the testimony of Mr. Thompson was. Mr. Thompson testified that it was his opinion that frequent pumping would reduce pollutant loading. And Mr.
Moylan
kept asking him if it was his testimony that this would clean up the groundwater. And those are entirely different issues.
Well, okay. And is this Mr. Sargent?
Yes.
Boy, okay.
Dick Sargent, a supporter. This is looking a little ahead, and I'm thinking about alternatives, and I'm thinking about how you might or if you have investigated the nitrate content of some of the discharges, and I'm thinking along the line of the federal marine requirements.
Well, Mr. Sargent, the point we are at now in this proceeding is that these witnesses are asking questions of staff, so you're free to ask questions.
Okay.
You want to pose that to...
Sure. I think maybe Matt, any one of you
are welcome
to answer.
Mr. Sargent, as long as these are relevant questions.
I think so, because I'm thinking that you wholesale reject hybrid approaches in alternatives. I mean you, the state. And so I'm thinking, because we're faced with some pretty bad situations, there might be a possibility of distinguishing between black water, gray water, as the federals do.
Okay.
And I'm asking Matt, have you done any investigation on that?
Yeah, I mean, we know that most of the nitrogen loading comes from the urea, you know, and you can't really reduce nitrogen loading without reducing black water discharge. Gray water has some nitrogen in it, but we've considered it. Yeah, I mean, not in like documented detail, but yeah, we consider it.
Would you consider it in the future if we say started to go along those lines? I'm really interested in what exactly why the feds will allow gray water in certain discharges in certain areas, and then, of course, no black water. So I think maybe we have a possible answer in that regard there. So I don't want to take any more time. That's good.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Martin, you've already asked questions, correct?
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if you could schedule me for next week. My wife is feeling poorly, and we would prefer to be scheduled next week if that's a permit. You know.
Well, I think that we can probably accommodate that given the time it is and given that your last name begins with M.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you for the consideration.
Well, I don't know that it's next week. The board hasn't discussed what to do in terms of continuing the hearing. We will continue it. I don't know when it's going to take place.
Well, whenever it does.
Whenever it does.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You've already asked questions.
Yes.
Only one question. One more. That's it.
Okay. Then I'll ask this one. Mr. Thompson, you testified that it will reduce nitrate loading, and will it clean up the groundwater? Will the pumping program clean up the groundwater, since that was what it was misstated before?
I believe that a centralized wastewater treatment plant with robust nitrogen removal
that was not the question.
Clean up the groundwater.
That was not the question. The question was, regarding the pumping program, will the pumping program clean up the groundwater?
The pumping requirement is an interim compliance requirement until a centralized treatment plant is built.
That does not answer my question, sir. It's a yes or no question. Will the pumping requirement clean up the groundwater?
The groundwater is so heavily contaminated, it will likely take decades before drinking water is restored to standards.
So the answer is no.
That's not what he just testified to.
You have my answer.
He gave an explanation. I know you'd like a yes or a no. He can't give it to you. He also testified in his opinion that pumping would reduce pollutant loading to the groundwater table.
Yes, and that's the reason why I was asking specifically to the other question, because there was some confusion with Mr. Moylan's. Because Mr. Moylan kept misstating his comments. And so because of that, I just wanted to get it on the record whether or not this will clean up the groundwater, since
Richards.
Yes, Mr. Richards stated that it was a misstatement.
Well,
okay.
Apparently,
if
this was the only system that was employed, apparently what his testimony is it could take decades at this rate of pumping. Is that what you intended, Mr. Thompson, by that comment?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe he also said no.
Okay. Well, you can point that out when it's your time, and I hope we get to your time, Mr. Schiff, because we're running out of time altogether. Mr. Payne.
Good evening again, Bruce Payne, president of Los Osos. I'm against everything. On your education, you were pretty honest about not knowing how many hours you had on septic tank, and that most of your experience was knowledge of septic tanks was learned here on the job. I thought that was very nice of you to let us in on that. The thing I'd like to know is, could you put up that picture of the septic tank and the leach fields that you have, please? Yeah, that's a good one. Either one of them. Yeah, that's very good. Now, did somebody give you that picture out of a book, or where did that come from?
No, sir. This is a representation of what we believe is going on in the subsurface. You have a lot of seepage pits, and you have relatively high groundwater. I developed this slide, sir.
Okay. When you were being told about septic tanks on the job here, did anybody tell you that they had two compartments in a septic tank? The picture there is not of a septic tank.
Yeah, I understand that there are two compartments in a septic tank. This is a very simplified representation of a septic tank.
Okay, yeah. We're a lot more exotic in our knowledge, just as laymen in Los Osos. The question I guess I would like to know is basically who taught you your information about septic tanks and leach fields on the job?
Well, first of all, the siting and design criteria for septic systems is established in our basin plan. It's pretty cookbook. And secondly, we have somebody who's a renowned on-site wastewater system expert in Howard Kolb.
Howard Kolb?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And basically what you said, we're pretty much all the same in Los Osos groundwater-wise. I didn't quite understand that part of your just last statement. Textbook what?
That misstates his testimony. I think he used the term cookbook to refer to the general siting criteria for septic tanks in the basin plan that applies region-wide to areas where septic tanks are allowed and where they're appropriate.
Mr. Payne, could you clarify your question, please?
Yes. Basically, this cookbook situation defining all septic tanks in Los Osos when they have not had any site-specific scientific knowledge about how to clean up the groundwater by using pumping.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I still don't understand your question.
I don't understand the specific
question that you're asking, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I'm probably a little beyond your septic tank knowledge too.
I hate to dispute your level of septic tank knowledge, but that isn't the issue. The issue is the clarity with which you have articulated the question that you are attempting to get Mr. Thompson to answer. It's not a matter of septic tank knowledge. It's a matter of articulating your question clearly so that the board can understand what information you're trying to get Mr. Thompson to give them.
Okay. Basically, they gave us pictures of a vadose zone and the fact that with enough vadose zone, it denitrified before it got to the groundwater. And we can't really use a cookbook thing to cover all of Los Osos. We're built on sand dunes there, sir.
That's
okay. But what is the question, Mr. Payne?
The question is, what scientific knowledge did you use to do site-specific studies, if any?
Well, the first question you should ask him is, did he do site-specific studies?
Oh, did you do site-specific studies?
No, sir.
Okay, and that's the answer to your question.
Right, that's the answer to my question. Do you have any more questions I could ask him?
Okay.
I think I'll let him off the hot seat for now. Thank you.
Okay. I like ending on a happy note. For now, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we are going to begin. Well, do you have an appetite? You do? Okay. Okay.
I'd like to do you a favor.
All right. Mr. Jeffries is giving me a stern look, so I'm not about.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Could I? I'd like to do you a favor, and I have an 11-year-old that's dying to go to the movies.
Go right now.
I'm an M, so am I going to be able to have my 15 minutes sometime at a later date? How long are we going to go here today?
We don't have time to get to very many tonight.
Okay.
Okay, and I think that the...
For the chart he put up there, I haven't seen very many three-story houses or three-door garages in Los Osos.
The few that we pulled out to reprioritize look like we will be lucky to get to at this rate. But eventually we're going to get to everybody. You can be sure of that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Board, what would you like to do in terms of dinner and reconvening? Tell me what you want. 45 minutes?
I want to go a little longer.
What do you want?
Have dinner.
What? Carol, what are we doing? What? Where is that? Okay, folks, what we are going to do is reconvene in 45 minutes. We're just going to get a sandwich. We're going to come back here so we can be done in 45 minutes. The goal really is to give the CSD their 2 hours so we can at least complete that this evening. And if we have to go over a little bit, then we will do that from the 10 o'clock time. Okay? So... 7:45.